From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series in the Doctrine of the Holy Spirit as he brings the final portion of a message entitled The Spirit of Truth. As Dr. Cairns has been explaining, there are in Scripture at least seven actions ascribed to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. So far, we've seen that the Holy Spirit is responsible for the inspiration of the Bible, that He points to Christ and not to Himself, that the Spirit of Truth uses the truth of the gospel to bring men to Christ. In addition, the Spirit of Truth assures those who receive the gospel of the reality of the things it promises, and He keeps the Christian from fatal error. In concluding the message, Dr. Cairn shows how the Spirit exposes and battles Satan and his lies, as well as how He guarantees the entire triumph of the truth. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, he takes a few minutes to warn against mad materialism, a subject with which he deals more fully in his booklet called A New Beginning, a publication designed for those who are serious about learning how to be saved and how to grow in the Christian life.
In ancient times, there were some philosophers who believed in what was called materialism. In other words, that material is eternal, and that ultimately everything is part of that material nature. Now, the advent of Christianity and the truth of the gospel dealt a death blow for many centuries to such nonsense, but unfortunately in the day in which we're living, materialism in one form or another is becoming more and more prevalent. There are people who, from a scientific basis, of course it is science falsely so called, persuade themselves that material is eternal. There are others, and they give various little twists and turns to the basic theory, but when it comes down to it, there are thousands and millions who live in practical materialism. They may not be able to follow the intricacies of the arguments of philosophical materialism, but practically they are materialists. They may believe God is. They may believe that they are immortal souls. They may believe in the great eternity in heaven or hell. They may believe even that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, came into the world and lived and died and rose again, and He is the only Savior and Redeemer of sinners. They may pay lip service to all such great truths, but in a practical sense, they betray a practical materialism, living only for material gain, living as if the only thing that really mattered in this world was the material. In other words, the things they can see, the things they can touch, the things they can handle, the money they can make, what it can buy, the places it can take them. So they give themselves over to materialism, perhaps not philosophically, but practically. The result of it is they pay attention to their wage packet, to their salary, to their benefits, to their health care, to their vacations. They pay attention to the bricks and mortar that they call home. They pay attention to all the things of the here and now, but they shut out of their mind the issues of their soul, how they stand related to God, where they're going to be in eternity. Now that is a very foolish thing to do. The Lord Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Why? Because moth and rust corrupt. In other words, the treasures of earth are but for a season, like the pleasures of earth, and they will pass away. He says, rather, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures that can never be lost. To use the words of Christ in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, you need to be rich toward God. You remember how he told the story of a rich farmer. His prosperity knew no bounds. He said, I'm going to pull down my barns and I'm going to build greater just to be able to house my prosperity. Then I'm going to say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, eat and drink and be merry. But then God spoke and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be? In other words, you're going to leave them behind. Now, how many people are just acting like the rich fool? I wonder, is that where you are today? Rich in the eyes of the world, or trying to be, concerned about getting things, and yet not concerned about being rich toward God. The only way to be rich toward God is to receive the exceeding riches of his grace toward us, offered and provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you receive him as your Savior and your Lord, the Son of God, the Savior of sinners, when you come to the cross and your sin is dealt with by the power of his atonement, and you live in the resurrected Christ, then you are truly rich. You have accumulated the greatest wealth that time or eternity can ever know.
Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Ooh, it was wonderful, blessed be his name, seeking for me.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life, theology, and the far-reaching influence of the great reformer John Calvin. Three leading Christian scholars provide helpful insights into the work of this much misunderstood spiritual giant as part of the observance of the 500th anniversary of Calvin's birth. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on the Reverend Cecil Maneri. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the Czech Republic. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, what is the best way to study the Bible? Is baptism essential for salvation? Or, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
And there's a fifth thing that the Spirit of Truth does. He keeps a Christian from fatal error. When you're saved, he keeps you unto eternal life. We were reading in John chapter 16, or we have referred rather to John chapter 16, and in verse 13, the Lord Jesus says, when the Spirit of Truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now the emphasis first there is to the apostles and the giving of the scriptures and inspiration. He guided the apostles in writing the New Testament into all the truth. Not a word that falls short of absolute divine truth here. Now, why that's true, this does have a reference to you and me. Jesus says the Spirit of Truth will guide you into all the truth. Now, I don't think that you can take from that, for the New Testament would contradict you, that Christians are guaranteed infallible. There are Christians who do think that they're infallible. I'm sorry to tell you, I don't really think you're right. We're not infallible. We're not free from all error. There's not one of us absolutely right on everything that we hold. I would to God we were. But certainly, The Spirit of truth guarantees to preserve a Christian from error in the essentials of the gospel, from error in things that are essential to salvation, from fatal error. When we do our Bible reading at home, there's usually a question time, and I never know what is coming. It may be out of the Bible reading, or it may be from anywhere else. And my wife and Frank will fire questions. I think sometimes they want to see how little I really know. Yesterday morning, he asked me a very simple little question that a girl in school had asked him. How do you explain Hebrews 6, verses 4 to 6? It is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, etc., if they should fall away, to renew them to repentance. Does it mean you can be saved and lost? I found that it was not as easy to put it into words for him to remember that he could pass on as I would have liked. So I told him, just send her to our minister. He's more likely to talk sense than you are. But on such a difficult passage. But as I was studying this, I got to think. Here's the very fact. So I've got to thank you, Frank, for bringing this to my attention. Look at Hebrews 6 for a minute. Just look at it. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. It's not the deepest word in Scripture for partakers, but it is a word that means that in some sense they went along as partners with the Holy Ghost, and tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, really is not giving the full strength of what Paul wrote. And when they fall away, or and they fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. Now look at verse 7 and verse 8. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. These people are to be damned. They're going to be burned. Secondly, these people never did have any spiritual fruit. All they ever had were thorns and briars. Thirdly, and I'm not going to give you an exposition of verses 4 and 5 at this point, but however those verses are understood, they must be understood according to verse 7 as being in the area of the general workings of God that take in unsee of people as well as see of people. It's like pouring out His rain upon the just and the unjust. God says He gave them many spiritual influences. And in the early church, sometimes they were supernatural influences. And yet they did not produce any spiritual life. There was only thorns and briars. And their end is to be burned. Now I want you to get the picture. It's possible for people to be in the church. It's possible for people to have its spiritual, quote, spiritual experiences. It's possible for people, and here again I refer to Matthew 7:22, to even known supernatural power. To do miracles even. And not be saved. And even though a man has had all this experience, such a person can fall away. And the sin of falling away in Hebrews is always denying the finished work of Christ and going back to animal sacrifices for salvation. It's possible, therefore, for a person who's in the church to deny Christ and deny the blood and deny the cross. But look at verse 9. Beloved, notice how it changes from they to you. We are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. Things that accompany salvation, or just things connected with salvation. The Greek word literally means things having salvation. In other words, these other people, whatever they had, they didn't have salvation. And they could deny Christ in the essentials of the gospel. But you, who have salvation, oh, you may sin, regretfully, you may sin. But there are certain things you cannot do. It is impossible for one indwelt by the Spirit of truth to deny from his heart the blood of Christ. When you get a man who says, I once was saved. We had one such person and rose to eminence in the Irish Presbyterian Church. He said, I once was an evangelical believer. I once had the Keswick experience. I once was this and I once was that. But he lived his life to blaspheme the blood of Christ and deny the deity of Christ and mock the resurrection of Christ. You can say, that man, whatever he had, he never had God's salvation. Because God, when he saves a man, he gives him the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth preserves Christians from fatal error. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. And as he does that, he exposes and he battles Satan and his lie. I haven't time to pursue this one in 1 John chapter 4. It's a very critical section of God's Word for Christians. But if you look at verse 2, you'll find the Holy Spirit, you know his working because of the confession of Christ. The spirit of the devil's lie does not confess Jesus Christ in a biblical sense. And again, verse 6. The Spirit of truth is known by the acceptance of the Word of God. The spirit of error does not govern itself by that book. I want to tell you, when men do not hear that word, the spirit they have is another spirit. Brethren, we need to be aware of this. 2 Corinthians 11 and 4 tells us of the subtlety of the devil. Today we see this, another Jesus, another Spirit, and another Gospel. This is the age of the counterfeit. Notice that the terms are right. They speak of Jesus. They speak of the Spirit. They speak of the Gospel. The terms are right, but the substance of those terms is altogether wrong. The Holy Ghost brings all religion, all profession, all doctrine to the touchstone of the Word of God. Isaiah 8 and 20. To the law and to the testimony. If they agree not to this, it's because there's no light in them. And then the last thing that the Spirit of truth does, not only exposes and battles the devil and his lie, but bless God, he guarantees the entire triumph of the truth. There is a battle. The truth is resisted. 2 Timothy 3 and 8. Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses. So men of corrupt minds today oppose the truth. 2 Peter 2 and 2. The truth is evil spoken of. Yes, it's resisted, maligned and cursed. But did Jannes and Jambres win the battle in Egypt? No, sir. The truth triumphed. And it still triumphs. There's a lovely verse that really is too big for this part of a message. In 2 Corinthians 13 and 8, Paul said, we can do nothing against the truth. We can do nothing against the truth. Now, understand what he means. Basically, he's saying that there is no ecclesiastical or even apostolic power or authority over or above or against the Word of God. That finishes the pretensions of popery and its hierarchy forever. But it's true in a broader sense. Men may oppose the truth, but God turns it on them. Paul said in Philippians 1, the things that have fallen out or happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now, that's not how it was intended by the devil. It was meant to stop the truth. Paul says it helps the truth. 2 Timothy 2:9, Paul says, I'm bound. Why did the devil want Paul bound? To stop the preaching. To stop the success of the word. But what did Paul say? The word of God is not bound. Men and women, the word of God prevails. This old gospel cannot fail because the Spirit of truth guarantees its victory. We're on the winning side. Don't believe the notion that we have got to sit back in more and more defeat and less enjoyment of the victory of the Lord. There is victory. The truth of God must prevail. Here then are the actions of the Spirit of truth. May God grant us to see much of His activity in our lives, in our homes, in the church, through our witness to the ends of the earth, glorifying Christ, applying the gospel, opposing the enemy, and leading us into the victory of glorious revival.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.